transform is the fourth mark of mission, which we are looking at today. This fourth mark of mission challenges us to examine how the gospel can make a difference in the world, not just for individuals, but also to the structures and institutions that shape our lives. Our gospel reading reminds us that mission is the work of God's Spirit. It is Jesus' mission. Our job is to join in. We can be assured that God's creative spirit is out and about here in St. Mark's, anointing our missionary vision for the existing housing development and the Mulberry development in our parish, including other missionary works we have across the world. Our job is to discern where God is active and then join in by committing ourselves wholeheartedly with creativity and synergy. There are three aspects to transform. First, to transform unjust structures of society. Two, to transform violence of every kind. And finally, to pursue peace and reconciliation. Let us look at each of them in turn. To transform unjust structures of society. In both the Old and New Testament, there is strong emphasis on justice, peace, and reconciliation. Certainly, the gospel is about the kingdom of God, the conversion of people, and also changing the structures of society in which people live. At the start of Jesus' ministry, standing in a synagogue in Nazareth, he read from Isaiah 43, that under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he is to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. These words have sometimes been described as Jesus' manifesto, where Jesus is saying, right at the start of his mission, this is what I am about. Let those with ears hear me. Jesus makes it clear that he's standing in the line of succession to prophets on the importance of justice to God. In Isaiah 58, the first three verses, Isaiah's prophetic voice encourages the people of God to seek repentance with participation in justice. This indicates that God's people have been crying out for deliverance, answers, and divine presence. Their cries are like those echoed by us in the 21st century. In verses 4 to 5, Isaiah warns that our seeking after God is inhibited by the economic injustice in our midst. Isaiah has zero tolerance for a personal faith far removed from the concerns of the neighbor. So we are invited to view our world through God's eyes. In verse 8, he proclaims that light shall break through to convey the delivery of the message about God's grace to a world still in darkness. And the final two verses indicate that any desire for personal or national restoration must be solved through seeking justice and care for the afflicted in our midst. This theme of justice is owned and taken up by the early church. James' letter is particularly against any inequity because of wealth and status. For James, there is a radical equality in the kingdom of God. So we can see that there is a clear and continuous line in the understanding in the Bible that God is bothered about the social and political structures of this world. God's kingdom is about justice. So what does this mean for us here in St. Mark's today? How can we understand this call as missional for us today? I mean, let's face it, there are still a lot of things going wrong in society. Children still go hungry. Some people are really wealthy while others are homeless. Discrimination is still endemic. The fact that we live in modern society hasn't removed the reality that there is injustice and unfairness in so many places. So how should we as Christians start to engage with these issues? It is easy to feel overwhelmed, but we should remember that we are a people of hope. Hope is a vital Christian characteristic. To understand what God wants of us, we should look at the person of Jesus and see how he lived his life on earth. Always remember that Jesus is the human face of God. If we want to know what God is like, then I'll suggest we look at Jesus. What we see in Jesus is someone who is radically inclusive and who wouldn't stand for division between people. I would like to suggest this morning that this is an important lesson for us all. So let's look at some of the injustice in the world. For example, if a police officer, the very embodiment of the public structure, do not seek to bring about justice, whose responsibility is it? Is it part of the mission of the church to point out those cases of structural injustice? If so, what are the appropriate ways beyond prayer for individual Christians and for the church to demand the transformation of those unjust structures without being party political? Where such large-scale transformation is required, we need first to be transformed ourselves. then we can effect transformation of communal, national, or global structure. Christians are called to work for justice in a world where the weak are often oppressed by the wealthy or the powerful. However, while it is easy to see the outworking of injustice, sometimes the underlying causes are hard to detect. We move on to our second aspect, to challenge violence of every kind. Injustice is directly related to violence. Whether violence is used as a way of imposing injustice, or whether violence is used as a way of resisting injustice. We Christians are to follow Jesus' steps, whether in challenging Russia's violence against Ukraine or challenging violence against Sarah Everett, who was kidnapped and murdered whilst walking home last year in London. The young woman was stopped and preyed on by a police officer, the very embodiment of the public structure that should uphold justice and challenge violence. She was the victim of his violence. Sarah was a talented young woman with her whole life ahead of her, and that life was snatched away. At a peaceful protest against these circumstances at Sarah's vigil, the women too appear to have become victims of societal violence. That may not have been how things happened, but that is how it appeared to have happened, particularly to the peaceful protesters. The perception of personal violence are represented in the image of Patsy, a young woman, a slender young woman, held down by two police officers on Clapham at the peaceful protest. There is a multiplicity of responses, but the problem of violence of every kind is so great that I believe we Christians have an enormous part to play in challenging violence, such as international ones, to bring changes to even Ukraine. The West and the Church face terror and danger in this mission. But this morning I proclaim that in Jesus' name, peaceful changes will prevail in Ukraine. Amen? Why? Because Christians are involved for a number of reasons. One is our obligation to spread the kingdom of God. Two, as Christians, Jesus orders us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And finally, to give priority to the needs of the poor. Dehumanization has never been permanent, because in every generation, God has always raised up people who have been prepared to stand up and say, I will stand for things which will not come to pass in my children or my grandchildren's lifetime. For example, think of William Wilberforce and the Clapham sect against the slave trade. Mother Teresa and Indians Untouchable. Mrs. Emily Pankhurst and Votes for Women. These are all people who were prepared to stand up and believe that they can be used to bring an end to a structure so that their children and grandchildren will not have to live to see them. Third, to pursue peace and reconciliation. The absence of war is essential for peace, but it does not pursue or create peace. Because peace is not an absence of war. It's not only an absence of war. Peace is a virtue, a state of mind, a disposition for benevolence, confidence, and justice. In the 20th century, Albert Einstein said something similar, and I read, "Peace is not merely the absence of war, but the presence of justice, of law, of order, and of government." Among the marvelous capacity we humans have, among the marvelous capacities we humans have, is the capacity to organize, to order our life together according to a common goal and desires. So many good things comes out of this ability, such as healthcare, education, public safety, food production and supply, food banks, constitutional democracy, etc. One of the challenges for us whom God calls to strive to pursue peace and reconciliation among all people is to recognize that even when we benefit from a structure that so many of us call normal, that structure may and likely does create less happy outcome for others. In the incident on the screen of military coup and protests in northern Myanmar, Sister Anne Rosa knelt before a group of armed rout police and troops, in tears pleading with the force not to shoot at protesters. Sister Anne Rosa was working at the clinic when he heard shots being fired at the protesters. She ran out to where the security forces were beating up protesters in front of a clinic. "It was like a war," she said, "and she felt it would be better if she dies instead of a lot of protesters." She was crying out loud. Her intention was to help people escape. She begged the forces to stop arresting the people. And at the time, she was not afraid of death, because the people were defenseless in the face of the military forces, who were supposed to protect them. She felt there was no one else to protect the people but her. This image of Sister Ann Rosa in front of the troop has been compared to the image from Tiananmen Square in 1989 during the crackdown among protesters of a man stopping a column of Chinese tanks with his body. But it's also a powerful image of the peaceful protesters at Clapham Common in London last year, and of the church speaking out against injustice, violence, and for peace in Ukraine and across the whole world. The kingdom of God announced by Jesus as the good news is seen as the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel and the ensuing transformation as God's work, which he began in Jesus. God's rule will continue to expand to the extent that we offer ourselves as channels of his love and his will. Jesus walked along others and proclaimed the kingdom of God, but he also demonstrated that the kingdom of God was one of justice by challenging injustice when he saw it. Jesus calls each one of us this morning to do the same. Particularly in our world, this might mean Christians and the church standing up for peace and reconciliation in a world where power, violence, and revenge are often prevalent. Jesus' announcement of his own mission in the synagogue in Luke 4:18-19 encompasses transforming unjust structures of society, challenging violence of every kind, and pursuing peace and reconciliation. So just as Jesus announced, let us pray this into our own lives, into our church, and into our parish and community. Transformed by God's grace, we will survive to challenge violence and pursue peace and reconciliation. Amen.